You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Okay, are you ready? I want you to forget everything you were taught about debt being the villain. Wealthy people know a secret, and the secret is leverage is the quiet engine of fortune, if you know how to drive it. Tonight's co-driver is Phuthi Mphelo. She is a chartered accountant who's audited billion rand balance sheets, a neuro encoding and NLP specialist who rewires the money stories that keep us broke, the author of The Self-Sabotage Syndrome, where she exposes the psychological traps that turn credit into quicksand. And she is a coach to entrepreneurs who turn bank loans into balance sheet bragging rights. So she's here to answer one radical question. How do rich people borrow money? How do they leave the interest to sweat and then walk away healthier? Ready to turn your IO to I own? Tonight we're shifting gears. And I want you to help me welcome Phuthi. Good evening, Phuthi.
How are you,
Bumi? I'm doing well. How are you?
Great, thank you.
Phuthi, when you hear the word debt, what does your nervous system remember first? Is it fear or possibility?
Depends.
Okay. Depends. Talk to us.
Depends. So fear, if there's two types of debt.
Mm.
There's good debt, there's bad debt.
Okay.
The debt that you were talking of in the intro,
yeah,
is not where you said fear or
possibility.
Yes. The one you mentioned is the one about possibility.
Yeah.
But the bad debt, where it's about we call it consumer debt, where you're spending for immediate gratification.
Mm.
That one is fear. And I'm glad you mentioned the nervous system, because it's stress. Stress increases cortisol.
Yeah.
Cortisol has all these negative side effects, you know, lack of sleep.
Mm.
You're always tired.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately depression.
This is true.
Yes.
Which I find interesting, right? Because debt is access to money. It sounds counterintuitive that access to money will give you anxiety or fear. Talk to us about that juxtaposition, or what seems like a juxtaposition.
It's exactly to what you said in the beginning.
Yeah.
If I've got, let's say, for example, a 10 million rand mortgage bond on a 50-bedroom hotel, let's just say, that's an income-generating asset.
Yeah, boy.
Yes, you must pay it back, but there's income that comes with that, with owning that hotel room or hotel, and it's an asset that can increase in value. So if I paid, or the capital is 10 million, and maybe in 2 years, that hotel building is worth 50 million.
Yes.
Now that's possibility.
Yes.
And you mentioned leverage.
Mm.
Leverage means, you know, if you could see me, leverage is, if you can think of a ruler, say you put a ruler at the edge of a table, and you sort of flip it.
Yeah.
Whatever is on that ruler would probably jump higher.
Yeah.
Do you understand? That's what leverage is. I usually show it like that.
Mm.
It's like a springboard.
It's like what we see when people are diving into a pool. Those diving boards at the top.
Uh-huh. Exactly that. Uh-huh. You see that? Whereas the other type of debt, the cortisol-inducing debt, it's because you paid for a pair of shoes or a meal or a holiday, and that experience or that feeling of joy, the dopamine hit, is long gone. So you can no longer justify having made that decision.
Now you must face the consequences.
You even forgot how the food tasted. Yes. You even forgot.
Yes. And you know what, right? While thinking about this conversation, we could have gone the way of, I don't know, maybe talking to people about what they already know isn't a good thing, because, I mean, they're experiencing the fear. they're experiencing the anxiety, they're already in the problem. I want us to have a conversation, though, that speaks to the possibility, right? Because our people don't know the possibility on the other side of debt. And it could be for a plethora of reasons, maybe access, maybe education. But I want to use this particular conversation to highlight the possibility of debt. You know, when I think about people like your Robert Kiyosaki, the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, when I think about, I can't remember the guy who wrote The Millionaire Fast Lane, these are normal people. These are average people. And in fact, Robert Kiyosaki says, I was raised by poor dad, but my friend had rich dad. And everything that I learned from rich dad put me in good stead. And I'm here today to share these lessons with you. And I really want this conversation to be a rich dad type of conversation where we teach people how we can use debt to actually see the possibilities that can be unlocked and what their lives can look like if they tackle or if they look for and use that good debt well. Can we do that?
Yes, yes, of course. I honestly believe that's what debt was built for, or was created for.
Yes.
Because debt is not about the rands and cents, no, if you're not in South Africa.
Mm.
It's more about awareness and boundaries.
Oh, I'm going to need you to unpack those two.
Because a lot of us have lost it. I don't even think a lot of people are aware of this possibility that you're mentioning, the rich dead lane that we are on.
Yeah.
Right? Because back to the springboard example you gave.
Yeah.
You see how much you can flip. You go higher so that you make however many spins until you splash into the pool.
Mm.
If people understood that, then we would use debt for what it was originally intended for.
Yeah.
And at the same time, the system, I always say the system, the financial system thrives on our ignorance.
Oh, and thrive as in they make millions over our ignorance.
Yay.
Ah, oh, man.
So I say the debt system was created to create possibilities, but how come we don't know about it?
Yes.
You see?
Yeah.
But also, today, this day and age, with access to information and a whole lot of things, I do think it's a, you know, if you want to learn,
you will.
You will.
Fantastic. Yes. And that's yes. so true. And before we get into the nitty-gritty, right, I really want us to tackle some root or foundational things, and then we'll get into now how do we actually put the structure up. Most of us were raised to see debt as dangerous. And I want to know from you, what part of that teaching actually served us, and where did it start to hold us hostage?
I think it will hold you, it will help you with boundaries. For example, in our country, not many people can, you know, when they become adults, they have a townhouse or a flat and a car waiting for them, right?
Yeah.
Most of us would have to borrow to get the first flat or the first house, get the first car, right? And yeah, whether a car is good debt or bad debt, I think that's debatable. But I buy the car because I have a job and I need to get to work early and I have to go see clients. You understand?
Yeah.
But you could have too much debt as far as the car goes. Or let me say, too much car.
Yeah. And it's a good thing. I mean, you have the car to get to work.
But it could be too much car.
Yeah.
Remember, if I can afford a 100,000 rand car, because that's what I can afford, boundaries. Or then you can afford a 600,000 rand car, because that's what you can afford. You see, if now I'm forcing and I go for that 600,000 rand car, which I cannot afford, I have too much car. It's not long about getting from point A to point B. Do you see?
Yes.
But, you know, buying your first property, most of us will have to go that route. That is good debt.
Yeah.
Where we've lost it, it's this excess or reckless lending that I do think the system has perpetuated.
Oh, for sure.
Because most people don't know. How do you buy a lounge suite, like couches and stuff, and you pay six times, you know, the original price?
Yeah.
And they tell you, oh, minimum payments. You see? So I think the system perpetuates it, but also there's a lot of ignorance. And then that ignorance can also be extreme. You know why?
Mm-hmm.
Because someone says, oh, I got into trouble with my first lender, let's say for the first car that I got, I owned, and it got repossessed.
Yeah.
I no longer want any type of debt.
You know,
that's extreme.
I'm so glad you're going there, because I did want us to speak about financial PTSD. Because that's what that sounds like.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I don't even want to see a cent of debt because of the trauma.
Yes. Mm. And the question is, what did you do right? And what did you do? Or what went wrong?
Yeah. That's a better question. What went
could
wrong?
You even afford, yeah. Could you even afford the debt at that point?
Yeah.
Most of, I'll tell you. So I know we want to be focusing on the possibility, because to see debt as a gauge to possibilities, you must first have access.
Yeah.
And normal people like you and I'm supposing it's a credit score. You need a credit score. And a credit score talks to what? Patterns. It talks to your habits.
Sure, for sure.
The how you've been handling your finances is telling the industry a story about you. That's how they manage risk. You see, it's a bigger question where someone was able to afford a car and then something happened, they can no longer afford their repayments. That causes trauma.
You see, that credit score is also annoying me, because it speaks to a point in time. Right.
Yes.
Like, for example, if I've been good with my money for 5 years, and then in these 6 months, 1 year, things just get rough. The bank says, sissy girl, no, we can't trust you with our money. So I don't like that credit score thing.
And unfortunately, that's the only thing you need. Unless you have a lot of assets to back that credit or that loan for that good debt or the possibility debt that you and I are talking about, you do need some form of credit rating because that's what the system uses to evaluate their risk. It can be asset backed, so you understand.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, usually if you can motivate, although you may no longer qualify for the ₹1 million bond, they'll say, okay, let's give you 500 while you rebuild. So you see, key to this conversation of debt being a possibility is that it's not instant gratification. You may have to build up your credibility again for another 6 months.
Yeah.
Because it's a long-term game.
Yeah.
That's when debt starts opening up doors for you.
You know, we've spoken about credit score. Hey, credit score. I've got a beef with credit score. We've spoken about credit scores. We've spoken about bank approvals even. And apart from the delayed gratification or the instant gratification, what other beliefs need to shift in a person's mind before they can actually begin to borrow wisely? Because it does sound like it's a mindset thing first and foremost.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a game. Let me tell you this. It's a game.
Oh, I love games. Put us on game.
It's a game.
Mm-hmm.
And to play the game well, what do you have to do? You have to learn the rules.
Yes.
It starts there.
Mm.
And learning the rules of this game, you will not win if your mindset has not caught up with the game. So if you're coming from a mindset where debt is just to get the clothes for Christmas, the meal for Easter, you know, you are not in the right game.
Yeah.
It's a different game.
Mm.
If you're going to play the debt game where debt becomes a gate to possibilities.
Mm.
So it starts there.
You have to know the rules.
You have to know the rules. So, for example, say life happens and you were good for 10 years and you fall into bad times.
Mm-hmm.
The mindset there is, let me give myself enough grace and time to recover.
Yeah.
Understanding that you're still telling a story. For example,
I lost
my job.
Yeah.
I can no longer keep up with the payments. You go find your creditors before they find you.
Oh, because they will find
your story.
You. They will find you.
they will
and they will even send lawyers to find you.
You see?
Yeah.
And then you've ruined the relationship. Because when I say it's a game, it's about relationship. It's about trust. Like I said, it's about a pattern. It's a story that as you're busy borrowing, doing life, spending money, there's a fingerprint that's been created for you, whether you know it or not.
Yeah.
And how intentional you are about that story that you're telling will make a difference. So for if you're going through a tough time, you go talk to them.
Yeah.
You can rearrange the payment terms. You understand? You can tell them, look, I can afford this for this long.
Yeah.
And I'll come back to you to give you an update. And remember, very key to this conversation, for someone to say, I'm not doing well at this point, it doesn't define me.
Yes.
I'm just going through something.
Yeah.
What does that take away? It takes away the shame, because you're dealing with it head on. Not many people can do that. The moment you fall into hard times, you want to hide, you want to pretend, and that's when you're playing the wrong game.
Mm.
It starts with the mindset. A healthy money mindset tells me, you know what? My income is less.
Mm.
My businesses are no longer doing as well.
Mm.
It's not personal.
It's not personal.
That's a mindset situation.
Yeah. Now, let's say somebody did not call the banks and their situation just kept deteriorating and deteriorating. What hope does that person have? Is it starting from scratch after the bank has taken everything that they own? What does it look like for that person?
Did you start from scratch? What do they say? The only way after you've... once you've reached rock bottom,
the only way is up.
You see,
yeah.
But it's again, it talks to a mindset.
It does.
Who do you become when you're in that rock bottom place? There are people, and you, if you've read even Rich Dad Poor Dad, you know how many bankruptcies that guy has filed.
Yes. Yeah.
But he's very wealthy.
Mm.
Even the president of the most powerful nation on the continent, he's gone bankrupt before. Many wealthy people have found themselves.
True.
Usually bankruptcy, the powerful one is where you file for bankruptcy yourself.
Yeah.
Versus where your liquidators will force you into it.
Mm.
That's a different discussion. So your liquidators will force you into it if you're dodging and you're diving and ducking and doing all sorts of things.
Now, I think, you know, when we talk about that man, that one, and Robert, I'm even thinking of Dave Ramsey, if you've followed any of his teachings or are aware of them. He's also filed for bankruptcy at some point, right? And now he's come up. And it gets me wondering, what are some of the questions that they ask themselves before taking on debts? Because it sounds to me like if we're not doing those things, then we don't even know to ask those questions. So what are some of these questions that they ask that we need to start asking as well before we take on this debt?
I think for me is... this is meant to work for me.
Ah.
I don't work for it.
Ah.
And that's the difference between that question you asked with, you know, where does it go wrong?
Mm.
This thing's supposed to work for you.
Mm.
You're not supposed to be a slave for it.
Mm.
That's where it starts. So that it's, again, understanding the game. For example, early on in many of our business, if I'm in business myself.
Yeah.
In early, usually if your business will be at going maybe at or operating at a certain level, to get to the next level, right? Most people don't have the cash flow or the revenues to support that. So you would most probably need to go borrow.
Yeah.
That's for growth, for business growth. That's good debt.
Mm.
Now, for most people, where the bank says, look, we can't see the collateral or the backup or your revenues don't support this next level of growth because there is no history. What's going to support that growth, right?
Yeah.
It takes a person who has a healthy money relationship to go to that banker and say, what do you need to see for you to be able to help me? Most of us, when they say no, you're out of there. You hope no one saw you come in.
And we even want to give up on this, thing that can be a revenue generating asset?
Yes.
Because somebody said no.
The first time.
Yeah.
The first time.
Yeah.
Because you don't understand the game.
Yeah.
You know, because even these guys we're talking about, I think, say, for example, the powerful man, he's been turned down before.
Yes.
I'm sure he has.
Oh, a lot of times, I can assume.
Yes. Mm. But you keep going. Mm. That's a mindset thing.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And, you know, earlier I was wondering, is the barrier really mindset or access? And I think you've just explained, or you've just emphasized, that it really is mindset. But can we also talk about this access piece, or do we not have an issue with access? Are there things there, we just don't have the right mindset, or are they too readily available that our bad mindsets lands us into trouble? Or even if we had the great mindset, the access is still denied. Which one is it?
You see, access has everything to do with you understanding the game you're playing.
Ooh, I want a game.
Yeah. It's a game.
Yeah.
So if I'm wanting to build a new workshop for my business, and I understand that my business has to show them a certain pattern that will make them feel comfortable with giving me that much. Mm. Or, you understand, it's a trust thing at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So a banker, if you've proven yourself over time, and they'll understand that you are a good payer, your business is growing, there's the pipeline. You need to show them that. I have so many off-take agreements, you see. Mm. So it is access, yes, but to a larger degree, I think mindset comes in first.
Yeah.
It may mean for the next 10 months, every single cent that your business makes, you put it back in the business and go without certain things. It may mean you're not able to participate in certain opportunities that may seem lucrative, but because of that one deal that you're trying to chase, or that one growth, whatever you want to, do you get where I'm going? So it's I think access, yes, we all know the systemic issues we're coming from, but there are a lot of decisions in business, in our personal finances, to those of us who were previously excluded, right? Mm. There are a lot of decisions that we make every single day that move us further and further and further away from getting that access.
Yeah. You know, I can't seem to shake off the whole concept or analogy. And it's not even an analogy, because it's true, right? It is a game. And when I think of any game, especially because I can't play chess, so let me go to the nearest, let me round off to the nearest checkers. Somebody makes a move, you make a move. Mm-hmm. Somebody else makes a move, you make a move. There is, and when I hear, as I'm hearing you speak, it sounds to me like the foundation of this game is maybe not a relationship, although you wanted to get to a relationship, but a participation. And I think a lot of us are in this game, but we are not participating. Move after move is made. And because we don't even know that this goes here and this means that, we can't even participate in the game because we just don't know the rules.
Absolutely. It's exactly that. There are rules to this thing. You are using other people's money. Mm. Least you can do is understand their terms and conditions for them to trust you with that money, because they do want it back.
With interest.
With interest. That's you paying them interest is you saying thank you.
Okay. This is such a great reframe. You came through for me when I didn't have this money. Mm-hmm. Now I've leveled up. Now I've put systems in place. Now I could afford staff. I could afford material. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I think if we think about it like that, it's not that I have to pay interest, but I get to pay interest because these people came through for me when I didn't have the means. That is such a great reframe.
Yes, but that's for good debt.
Oh, yeah. Because couch on credit, personal loan for survival, you're playing games.
You're not, you're being used in the game. You're not even playing.
Oh, you are the pawn in the game. Oh, imagine being the shoe in Monopoly.
Exactly.
Now, if I gave you 100,000 rand in credit right now, what would you not spend it on? And what could you wisely use it for to multiply it within a year? So we've got 100,000 on the one side. What are we not spending this money on? But on the other side, what are we doing with it so that in 12 months we multiply it?
One thing, I will not be buying clothes.
Okay. Even if you're a speaker. Like me. How?
I will prepare my talk so good so that you even forget that I'm not wearing.
But I don't want to wear a bare shoe. I need to impress. Come on.
I'll borrow.
Okay. That's fair.
A friend must have a shirt for me. Otherwise, then you're really bad.
That's fair. Okay. We're not buying clothes because there's no ROI, right?
What is the ROI on clothes?
Nothing. You just look good. People compliment you and that's it.
I'll even say that's too tight.
Oh, oh. Because we can't please everybody.
Nope.
Okay.
Oh, that's the wrong color.
Yeah. Oh, we're not getting closed. We're not getting closed.
We're not getting
closed. Case closed. Yes. What else are we not getting?
It's food or a trip.
Not a trip. Okay.
Nope.
Okay.
And just for the record, there is absolutely nothing wrong with spending money on those things.
Yes.
If you can afford it.
And if it's your money, that is not going to set you back after. Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely nothing wrong. Whether it's a 50,000 rand bag or a 1 million rand bag, if you can afford it, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
Right? Most of us, or most people are not there.
Mm-mm.
So they're jumping stages, they're jumping processes.
Mm.
Then you'll never arrive.
Mm.
See, so that is one.
Yeah.
12 months, I think for 100K, it's really not a lot.
Mm.
But I would, the one mistake I see people also doing is they will say, I will invest it.
Mm.
You know, literature, economics will tell you you don't do that.
Okay.
Because in shares, and depending on what type of investment, mm-hmm. but unless you put it in a 32-day account. But even if you do that, if the interest on this debt is 10% per annum, and the 32-day account is giving me 6% per annum, that's a loss.
Yes.
You see. So I would rather use it I'll do it both ways.
Mm.
If you're really not in business, I would invest in a skill.
Yes.
In a skill that would allow me to create a business or to make more money.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
That's if maybe you're not in business already. If you're in business, say you're in a manufacturing space, I could buy a new machine to make my processes faster.
Mm-hmm.
I could, because you're not going to buy a building with this or anything. Or you could put it as a deposit for a 800,000 rand property.
Yes.
Or one, depending on the terms.
Mm.
So what I'm saying is, even if you were to invest it, the return on that investment has to be higher than the cost of that debt.
Mm.
Otherwise, it's at a loss.
Mm. That's brilliant. Yeah. That is so brilliant. And I'm even thinking about, if because the business that I used to run is a service business, right? And the way to get customers is through advertising. And I'll throw a huge chunk of that into advertising because I've proven the concept, I know it works. And so there's really, I think what you're saying is there are ways to grow that money, and that is what you focus on. It can't go down the drain.
Mm-mm.
It can't go down the drain, yeah.
And I love that you mentioned advertising. Mm. So if I'm already in business, say like you're in services, advertising is an investment.
Yeah.
Because 10 more people will know about your business. Conversion will be maybe 2%, you know, and you get how many? Two more people buying from you.
Yeah.
Did you see?
Yeah.
So 20%, I mean, not 2%, but do you understand where I'm going? So that's the right thinking.
Mm.
with this money. But if it's borrowed, I would say you want to be a lot more careful with it to ensure, as things can happen, things do go wrong.
For sure,
but
for
just
sure.
to increase your chances of the return on the investment you make with that money is higher than the cost of that debt. That's what makes the difference. And that's why we borrow. That possibility you mentioned,
yes,
it's because the cost of borrowing is higher than the return on the investment that you make, or that possibility that you go and buy.
Yeah.
That's what makes the difference.
When you read these books on wealth building and, you know, putting together a strategy that will get you wealth, and some say quickly and some say more effectively, but whichever one it is, you get to learn that the rich don't just borrow for borrowing's sake. They build systems.
Yes.
And those systems ensure that the debt is able to pay for itself. What do these systems look like for those who maybe aren't reading those books?
You mean systems in my personal life or in business? Because this is mainly for business people.
Yeah, let's go either way.
A system in simple terms is a group of processes.
Yep.
Things that happen whether you're in that business or not. That's you know, when I think of systems. So there's certain processes that happen in that business.
Yeah.
Whether you're sick, whether you're away, they continue, hopefully ensuring that you keep bringing in the income or your business continues to generate income. That is why it's widely expected that borrowing to buy a rental property, for example, that usually works out.
Yeah.
Because with or without you, the people using that property, right, and paying you rent. And even though maybe in the early years, that rent doesn't cover the full debt bond repayment.
Yeah.
But there's a smaller differential, right? So that's one. A system just means this thing will operate with or without your physical presence in it, right? So if I'm wanting to borrow, I have an automated sales system.
Yeah.
Let's say I have an automatic advertising process, right? Delivery. People can receive what they've ordered from me.
Without your intervention.
Without your intervention.
Yeah.
You see, that's systems. In any case, if you really think about it, when a banker analyzes your financial information to see whether you're worthy of that credit or not, they're also analyzing your systems.
For sure.
You see, because if you think about it, if I was away on holiday for 2 months or 2 weeks and there's a big dip in my sales, then my banker will say, but what happened in these 2 weeks
and
or
we
this
can't
month?
Trust you're you because like, you'll get burnt out again and go on holiday again. We can't trust you with our money.
And then she says, what if you get sick?
Yeah, boo.
You see, so systems. And then another thing, systems, is your reporting systems. It doesn't mean if I've got a big contract and I'm not getting through to reporting, you know, putting together my bookkeeping, that must be outstanding.
Yeah.
So a big part of systems is reporting. You know, that now for me, you mentioned about playing the games.
Yeah.
It's more the rules. You understand? It's
sure.
The game. I don't have another way. It's the game.
Yeah.
The terms and conditions of participating.
And the nice thing about using the analogy of a game is that you can enjoy it. It's enjoyable if you are playing to win and if you're playing right, because you can play to win and still make very careless mistakes. But if you're playing right, life just happens. You can enjoy it. And I think when we think about money or financial discipline, for a lot of people, they shy away from it and they end up going into debt because, nyang bora with budget, then this and the. But the idea that you can play this game, and because it is a game, it can be enjoyable, I think that can unlock something in people's brains where money and building wealth is concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're thinking of a game, when we used to play in the streets growing up, there were those of us or those who were better at this game.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to be better like them, what did you do? you learned what they did.
Yeah, but you practiced.
You studied what they did and you practiced.
Yeah, I'm kosher. Practice.
Practice, yeah. You see. Yes. So we can practice as well. Mm. But do you see why we cannot remove this conversation from mindset?
No, we cannot.
For me to say, at this point, I don't understand this game.
Yeah.
But I'm going to learn.
Yeah.
And that, you know, takes...
And we, when we talk about systems, for me, systems and practice are not divorced, right? Mm-hmm. When we make it personal, because we've been talking business, but we make it personal, practice looks like automating your payments, debit orders, even automating savings.
Yes,
something, ma'am. That is a system.
Yes.
Sticking to your budget, that is a system, because your budget alone is a system. It's small things that when you practice, at the end of it, you get a reward or a result. At the end of the month, you're not stressed. That is a reward. That means you are playing the game and you are winning. Let's go next level. You see,
yes,
all
ma'am.
Your debit orders, the bank is no longer calling you because you're paying on time. That is a win, next level. And so when we think about systems, I think people need to think in that regard. It's the smallest thing you can do that will give you a good return and a good result at the end.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that is that. And it takes maturity.
Oof.
To remove the money tactics, like what you said, automate.
Mm.
Even forgetting, you know, the money comes in, you move a chunk of it into a savings account, building an emergency fund.
Yeah.
Life, even when you're in the sticks somewhere with no network connectivity, this thing still runs.
Mm.
And you're still telling a good story.
You're still telling a good story. What's the biggest lie we've been told about debt?
Let me be very careful with this one.
Okay.
That debt is bad.
Mm.
I think that's it.
Mm.
That debt is bad. There's reasons why debt can be bad. And we've spoke about that.
Yeah.
And I think another one is that this debt game is for some people, not for everyone.
I think that one gets to me, because then we exclude ourselves from the participation.
Yes.
Ish.
Yes. And in that exclusion, usually we keep ourselves out.
Mm.
No one forces you to go and pay for a 6,000 rand dress on credit just because you have a birthday party or a funeral. No one's forcing us to do that, but we choose to do it every single event that presents.
Ooh.
And you're staying out.
Yeah.
The more you dig that you see, because of the instant gratification, it feels good for now. It's like a drug addiction.
Yeah,
the dopamine hit is so great.
It's so good.
10 minutes later, you're like, I should not have done that.
Ooh. And it doesn't even take that long. The adrenaline takes, it wears off so quickly. As quickly as that card was swiped. Yeah.
But that's why you keep going back.
Ah. For that hit over and over again.
Yes. It's dopamine. That's why it feels so good.
How do we recover? What is money rehab? What does money rehab look like?
You know what? The money rehab looks like two letters. N-O.
Yeah.
To you first, if you are the problem. Or to whoever is causing you that problem.
No, it's mostly us. That's the problem. That's the biggest problem. But you know what? I've been thinking about something. I've been thinking about something quite intently over the weekend, actually, about accountability, right?
Yeah.
That the reason why accountability works is because it's easy for someone to not keep their own promises to themselves.
Mm.
It's easy to say, I'll wake up at 5 and you wake up at 9. Or I'll go to the gym and the gym never sees you for the next 6 months. However, if you've made a promise, even if it's about your own life, to somebody that you love, you don't want to disappoint the person that you love. And there's just something about somebody who you know thinks highly of you when they ask you something and you're able to say, yeah, I did that. I actually followed through. And I think this is why accountability works so well, because there's somebody else now who you respect and who respects you, who you don't want to let down. And when I think about the fact that we can't say no to ourselves, maybe we need to bring other people into the conversation, you know, like how wealthy people have accountants and brokers and advisors. Maybe we need our own board of directors or our own accountability buddies who we will find very difficult to lie to and to disappoint and to not be able to give the truth about what is really going on. So what is your view on having people that you can account to? Because it's so easy to not say no to ourselves.
Game changer. That would be a game changer. If you had someone, but most times why that sounds a bit challenging or discouraging for many people is because of comfort zone. Because if I'm going to have my best friend be accountable, you know, to be my accountability partner, she's probably the one, the reason I'm in this trouble. Because like,
you deserve it. Once.
So I think accountability, first of all, requires that you get out of your comfort zone. Because I'm not going to be accountable. You know, you said someone who you respect that, you know, it must be someone that you hold in very high regard. Usually those people are not people that you see every day.
Yeah.
You see, so either you go looking for those type of circles where you are coming together just for that purpose, that common vision, or you go pay for that, you know, either through a broker or, but you have to, you see, environment is a big part of all of this.
Yeah.
There's a saying, it says, it goes like, environment is much more powerful than your willpower.
So
who's in your space?
Yes.
Who is in your space?
Yeah.
If everyone around you is spending and, you know, making it normal that, oh, you know, we keep paying these things, we're going to die, Moss.
Yes. Yes.
You know, you'll eventually just end up somehow normalizing that. Whereas if you challenge yourself to move into spaces where those people are usually at a higher level, then you'll behave better. It's uncomfortable, yes, but then you're challenging yourself to be accountable to people at a higher level. That increases your chances of getting to that higher level.
Yeah. Oh, yes, that makes absolute sense. And I know you're a coach. Do you want to perhaps speak to us about your services and how you actually help people through the mindsets, through the actions, and to get to the possibility?
Yeah. You know, mindset, I don't even say mindset anymore. It's our thinking patterns. It's our thinking patterns.
Yeah.
What are the type of things that you're focusing on in your head? Say you're in debt.
Yes.
So you say you made mistakes or life happened. What are the things, the thoughts that you're entertaining all the time? Because what you focus on grows.
Yeah, this is so true.
Right? So the neuroscience is, as you think, so you will feel. Yeah. And as you will feel, you will do.
For sure.
And as you will do, you will have.
Oh.
So what type of thoughts are you entertaining? That make you feel, it's science. You can't get that your emotions, that thing you're feeling, what thought just crossed your mind? Let's fix that. If it's productive, we keep it. If it's not productive, we don't keep it.
Yeah.
And how I'm feeling will influence what I do. And what I keep doing will influence the results that I get. You see, so I always start with the thinking patterns. We call it mindset. But what type of thoughts are you going entertaining all the time?
Yeah.
People like us never create wealth. Good debt is only for those type of people. I will never come out of this debt thing that I'm in.
Yeah.
Then you feel sad.
Oof.
You understand? You're not going to go, you're not going to take steps actively to get out of that.
Yeah.
Because you're feeling discouraged.
I mean, you've subjected yourself to that fate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then you have nothing at the end. So yeah, that's my whole thesis is that think, feel, do, have.
Yeah. What's one truth about money or debt that changed everything for you?
Money gives me options.
Ooh.
It's a tool.
Say nothing that else. Again. It
just
gives
a tool.
You options.
Yes. Money, I don't personalize it. And that is why whether I have a lot of it or less of it, it doesn't necessarily affect my personality or who I am or who I show up as. That's been the difference. It's just a tool.
Yeah.
Gives me more options than someone who doesn't have as much as I do. Gives me less options than someone who has more than me.
And now people have so much work to do in terms of allowing money to shape our identity. Because when we've got it, we want everybody to listen. We are prowling around. Everybody must see. Everybody must look. And when we don't have, we become miserable, horrible people.
Yes, yes. It's a terrible master, a fantastic servant. We've heard that before.
I have, but it's like I'm hearing it for the first time. Terrible master.
Fantastic
servant.
Yes.
Let's close it off with this. If you could teach every 17-year-old in this country one lesson about how to use debt to build generational wealth, what would that lesson be? And how would you make sure they never forget it?
Let me think. I'll go back to what you said. Debt can open up a world of possibilities for you.
Yeah.
Things that would have taken you 100 years to get to. If you play the game right.
Yeah. Things that generations before us have never touched or seen.
Nothing. You know that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, just imagine your loved ones, your grandmother, your mother, whoever, walking into a building and you telling them that I own this building. And I'm not talking about just about your house.
No.
Yes, there's a pride to that.
Yeah.
But think about a building, either a rented office or a rented whatever, you know, block of flats or whatever. I think there's no bigger stamp of approval that you'll get.
Yeah.
But remember, that's not the flashy game. That's the boring.
Yes. It's the boring work that takes time.
It takes time.
And we don't want to give that time.
Yes. We don't.
No.
We don't. And you said it very well. Either you create wealth quickly or effectively. It's about being effective.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Puti, you know what? The conversation started off with the whole idea of fear. And I think throughout this whole conversation, you then helped us to turn this fear into a financial framework. And the framework is, there is a game. You need to know the rules and play by the rules.
Yeah.
And you're going to hear no many times. But that doesn't mean you don't go back and check. Hey, did I put my X on the wrong square? Should I actually take my nod to, you know, we just keep playing the game because now we know the rules. And some things that were highly emphasized and highlighted to me is that bad debt funds impulse, but good debt funds impact. And when we spoke about the questions to ask, you think, is my impulse driving this or is impact driving it? Because what is on the other side of this, you know? And you spoke so highly and so emphatically about mindset. And as you were speaking about it, I actually got to realize that mindset is the credit score no bank can see, but every bank account reflects.
Yes, ma'am.
So while I hate it, that credit score, what it's really revealing is my mindset. And even if it's at a point in time, this is what I was thinking and this is what led me there. And if I want to continue my relationship with any bank, then I have to fix what I got wrong 6 months ago. And it all starts with the right mindset. And before you give us your parting shots, I really just want to say to every listener right now who is clutching a statement or who just who just quickly scrolled away from that email that says pay now or that SMS that's come to you. Rewrite the story. Putsi told us that we can rewrite the story or continue writing the story just differently. Make it read differently. And next time, borrow with ROI in mind, not FOMO. Because you only live once for sure. But if that life is filled with the fear and the anxiety of that pay now statement, then was it really even alive? You know? Mm-hmm. And I really just need everybody to remember that the fastest way to pay less interest is to live a life that earns interest on your wisdom. Putsi spoke about the skills you need to gain and the education that you need to align yourself with. That is that is what will earn you interest, your wisdom. But also not wisdom, Jay, that's just sitting in your brain, but wisdom that you actually execute. So Putsi, parting shots, and let's leave the people to have a good night. This was so incredible, and I'm so glad you came through.
Oh, thank you for having me. I loved it. I love the angles. Long and what I want to say, debt is not about the rents and cents.
No.
It's about your boundaries,
yeah,
and awareness.
Yeah.
You got to know that.
Boundaries.
Yeah.
Boundaries. And NO is a complete statement. No, especially to ourselves. My people, stay leveraged. That's the one thing you spoke about. Stay leveraged on purpose. Stay wealthy in your mindset first. I am Nompumelelo Lombonani. I'm signing out with Putsi, and I hope you've just made sense of your business. Fresh mercies tomorrow. Ciao for now. Putsi, thank you so much.
Thank you, Nompu. Thank you.
Cheers.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.